Good day, this is Greg, and I'll be reading the Vermilion County News for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. And as usual, we'll start with the front page of the commercial news. And our first story today is entitled, We Have Room for You. Church Embodies Its Name with Event. And this story is by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. A neighborhood event on Saturday is the start of what new Danville Community Church of God pastor Lestan Hoskins hopes to see regularly continue in involving the community more with the church. We're excited about it, Hoskins said. The neighborhood event will be from 4 to 6 p.m. Saturday, October 3rd, at the Douglas Park Shelter. We will have barbecue catered by C&D Barbecue, games, and music. This will be an opportunity for our church to build relationships with people within our community, according to Hoskins. Safety guidelines will be followed at the event. They will provide hand sanitizer, face masks, and they will encourage those who attend to social distance from one another due to COVID-19. Hoskins said the snacks for the kids are prepackaged and the caterer is licensed. This is just an opportunity for the people in the neighborhood and anyone who wants to come and see who we are as a church, he added. It's for everyone who wants to come and learn more about our church and see what we're about. The church at 535 South Bowman Avenue has a congregation of about 125 people. Hoskins has been pastor at the church for about 4 weeks. Hoskins says the church has been predominantly white and he thinks it's really cool in being an African-American pastor there, and how churches are tearing down barriers and divisions. We believe in the importance of building relationships with the people within our community. We are a church that wants to embody our name, community, and be a place where people can find purpose, hope, and love, Hoskins said. One of the ways we intend on accomplishing this is by going out into the community and getting to know those who are in close proximity to our church. One of our mottos at Danville Community Church of God is that we have room for you at community, and that's why we want to encourage people to join our church family, he said. He's looking forward to this being one of the many community events the church hosts in the neighborhood. This will lead to future events. I think this is the very beginning, he said. Our goal is to be more about community and go outside the four walls of the church. Our next story today is entitled, Commission Considers Convenience Store. And this story is also by Jennifer Bailey. Danville. An agenda item removed from last month's Danville Area Planning and Zoning Commission agenda has returned for this month's meeting with some changes. The commission will meet via a Zoom conference call at 5:15 p.m. on Thursday. There is not access to the meeting by the public. Members of the public can submit comments for the agenda items in advance of the meeting by emailing the comments to lcronk@cityofdanville.org. or by calling 217-431-2286. City staff will read up to the first 3 minutes of the comments received. The commission will consider Vincent, Edward, and Sheila Clark's request to rezone 701 and 703 East William Street, a vacant building at the northeast intersection of Anderson and East William Street, from I-1 Light Industrial to B-1 Neighborhood Business Zoning for a neighborhood convenience store. The Clarks also are requesting a special use permit to operate the convenience store there. They would need a special use permit to locate in that zoning district, according to Logan Cronk, Danville Grants and Planning Manager. The Clarks own and operate Clark's One-Stop Shop at 635 East William Street, located across the street from the property they're asking to be rezoned. They say the store will offer a variety of products to the community, such as soft drinks, toiletries, call cards, newspapers, magazines, liquors, tobacco products, food service, packaged beverages, candy and snacks, beer, and non-alcoholic beverages. This is the community I grew up in and am proud of being a part of. I have attended college for 4 years, received my bachelor's in business administration, and I wanted an opportunity to return to my community to give back to those who helped me along the way. We would like to begin remodeling soon, stated Edward Clark, Vincent Clark, and Sheila Clark. One Stop Mart convenience store will be owned by Vincent and Sheila Clark and family. Vincent has managed Clark's One Stop Shop and has been in business since 2009. City staff state the requested rezoning is appropriate. The city's comprehensive plan, adopted in 2006, states non-residential structures exist throughout Danville's older residential neighborhoods that were built and have previously been used for business purposes. Rather than having these properties become problems for the neighborhood, the reuse of these structures for certain low-intensity business uses should be permitted and encouraged. The property has been vacant for many years. As such, it may be a better fit as a business that offers convenience items within a quarter-mile radius of the residential areas to the east and south of the property. The business meets area and bulk requirements with adequate parking and space to accommodate customers to the business, city staff stated. And our final front page story today is entitled, Circuit Clerk Faces Legal Advocate. And this is by Jennifer Bailey also. The election for Vermilion County Circuit Clerk has Circuit Clerk Missy Quick, who was a longtime deputy clerk, who is filling the remaining term of Dennis Gardner, who retired, facing Cross Point Human Services Legal Advocate and Care Coordinator Gwendolyn Meeks. Republican Quick and Democrat Meeks are seeking election on November 3rd to the seat. The county board approved Quick, chief deputy in the circuit clerk's office for 30 years, to serve Gardner's remaining term after he retired on June 30th. The Commercial News sent election questionnaires to the candidates. Quick, 49, of Alvin, is married to Kirby Quick, and they have 2 children and 2 grandsons. Quick is a 1989 graduate of Catlin High School and has some college experience. She is former Village of Alvin trustee and member of the Vermilion County Republican Women's Club. Meeks, 60, from Danville, works for Cross Point Human Services, a legal advocate for domestic violence and care coordinator. She's married to Terry Meeks and has 5 children and 9 grandchildren. Her high school was Austin High School in Chicago. College degree received, Associate in Business from Robert Morris College. Bachelor of Arts in Organizational Management from Concordia University. Currently pursuing a master's degree in social work. Meeks worked in the circuit clerk's office from 2009 to 2011. She says she has no previous political experience, but a strong passion for serving, uplifting, and supporting others. First question, why did you decide to run, seek re-election to this office? Quick, I have served the citizens of Vermilion County for the past 30 years and felt my knowledge of the office made me a good candidate. Meeks, I decided to run for circuit clerk to make a change, not only for the office, but for the community as well. It is my strongest belief that the office needs someone who is willing to not only listen to the cares, concerns, and needs of our community, but someone who is willing to take action and ensure that dignity is at the forefront of how their case is handled and processed. Question 2. What do you consider to be the most important issues concerning this office? Meeks, I believe in building a community through respecting one another and having the appropriate training needed so that the office can be most efficient and effective to keep accurate records for all cases. It is important to take time to develop good relationships from a holistic perspective. Quick, the most important issues we face are the maintaining of accurate court and financial records. We are responsible for reporting all financial and statistical records to the administrative offices of Illinois courts and Secretary of State's office. Question 3. What do you want the public to better understand about this office? What are the challenges, and how do you overcome them? Quick. Our staff works in a very fast-paced environment. It is important to maintain accurate records in an efficient manner. We are responsible for all the cases that are filed in Vermilion County and serve as court clerks to 6 resident judges. We are responsible for making minute entries and disposition each case as it passes through the system. The current challenges we face are keeping up with the new legislation, fines, and fees that come our way twice a year. I attend training put on by the IACC to keep informed of the changes coming and how they affect our office. Meeks. This office, the Keeper of Records, is one of the most important offices in the building. Employees work very hard under a lot of pressure. As an unfortunate truth, they are paid poorly and oftentimes overlooked. As you can imagine, this does not motivate them. You must have patience and knowledge in what you are doing, and that comes with proper training. One mistake can cause a lot of damage, not only to the customer or client, but also to the clerk's office. The challenge is ensuring that each employee is trained properly. However, you overcome this by properly training employees on the desk that they are assigned for 6 months to 1 year. This training should include the current system on which they are working. Question 4. What qualifications do you think make you the best candidate for this office? Meeks. I'm qualified to be circuit clerk because of my experience working in several divisions of the office as deputy clerk, keeping the docket and schedule in court, etc. My degree in organizational management, relationship built with Crosspoint, New Directions, and Citibank speaks for itself. Quick. I have been employed in the circuit clerk's office for the past 30 years, 28 of those in a supervisory capacity. I have served under 5 previous circuit clerks, both Democrat and Republican. I have established a working relationship with the Administrative Office of the Illinois Courts, Secretary of State's Office, and the Illinois Association of Court Clerks. I am familiar with the manual on record keeping and how it pertains to the running of our office. And lastly, item 5 was additional comments and information. Meeks, transparency in government is vitally important to all communities. We're going to turn now to the obituaries and death notices for Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. Our first obituary is for Barbara Favis Clark. There was rejoicing in heaven September 25th, 2020. As Barbara Favis Clark was called home to be with the Lord. A celebration of life will be held at the Sterling Christian Church in Vetersburg on Sunday, October 4th at 1:30 p.m. with Gary Johnson officiating. The family requests in lieu of flowers that memorial contributions be made to Western Indiana Community Foundation to the Fountain Central Herschel and Barbara Clark Scholarship, or to the Ministry of Choice. Dickerson Funeral Home is assisting the family. Special thanks for the many expressions of love. It's been overwhelming. Ralph Fletcher. Ralph Fletcher III, 77, of Vetersburg, passed away at 2:23 p.m. Thursday, September 24th, 2020, at Franciscan Health in Indianapolis, Indiana. Visitation will be at 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Friday, October 2nd, at Dickerson Funeral Home in Vetersburg, Indiana. Military honors will be given at 1 p.m. to conclude the visitation by the U.S. Army and American Legion Post 288. Burial will be at Boonbreak Cemetery at a later date. Memorial contributions may be given to the American Cancer Society or the American Diabetes Association. And under the death notices column, there's a note that said these obituaries were received by 5 p.m. Monday. Covington, Indiana. Janet Sue Ping, 79, of Covington, passed away at 8:15 a.m. Eastern Time on Friday, September 25th, 2020, at the Waters of Covington. Graveside services and burial will be Tuesday, September 29th, at Lower Mound Cemetery, north of Perrysville, Indiana. There will be no visitation. Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga, Indiana, is in charge of the arrangements. Hillsdale, Indiana. Janet K. Conger, 75, passed away at 11:40 a.m. Eastern Time on Saturday, September 26th, 2020, at her residence. Services will be at 3 p.m. Eastern, Saturday, October 3rd, 2020, at the Cayuga Christian Church. Visitation at 1 p.m. Eastern Time until the time of services at the church. Burial will be at Thomas Cemetery in Newport, Indiana, at a later date. Diverter Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Hupston. Carol O. Speed Crozier, 81, passed away at 7:37 p.m. on Saturday, September 26th, at Carl Hupston Regional Health Center. Visitation will be from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, September 30th, at Anderson Funeral Home. Private family funeral services will be held, followed by a public graveside service at 1 p.m. on Thursday, October 1st, at Sugar Creek Cemetery in Stockland. Joliet. Heather Weaver, 39, passed away Sunday, September 27th, at home. Arrangements are pending at Rartvet Funeral Services. Mico, Florida. Gary Martin Mott, 79, formerly of Cayuga, Indiana, passed away at 9:33 a.m. Eastern Time on Sunday, September 27th, at William Childs Hospice House in Palm Bay, Florida. Arrangements are pending at Diverter Funeral Home in Cayuga. Ridge Farm. Mark Hilgendorf, 38, passed away at 5:15 a.m. Monday, September 28th, at home. Arrangements are pending at Rortvet Funeral Services. Rossville. Robert Lewis, or Bob Lusk, Jr., 83, passed away at 7:45 a.m. on Friday, September 25th, 2020, at his home. Visitation will be from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Wednesday, September 30th, 2020, at Anderson Funeral Home. Service will be at 1:30 p.m. on Wednesday at the Rossville Cemetery in Rossville. Tilton. Brandon A. Christie, 40, passed away at 2:16 a.m. on Saturday, September 26th, at Memorial Medical Center in Springfield. Services will be at 11 a.m. on Wednesday, September 30th, at Greenwood Cemetery. Rortvet Funeral Services in Tilton is assisting the family. Eugene Hunter. Eugene Hunter, 64, of Douglasville, Georgia, formerly of Danville, died at 1:07 p.m. on Tuesday, September 22, 2020, at Douglasville Nursing and Rehab Center. Funeral services will be at noon Thursday at Lighthouse Ministries, 122 Ohio Street in Danville. Pastor Ricky Hoskins will officiate. Burial will be in Spring Hill Cemetery, Danville. Visitation will begin at 11 a.m. on Thursday at Lighthouse Ministries. Leek and Sons Funeral Home at 304 East Williams in Danville is in charge of the arrangements. Joseph Staten, 78, died at 2:05 a.m. Saturday, September 26th, at Heritage Health Senior Care in Hupston. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Owens Funeral Home at 101 North Elm Street in Champaign. Next, from the commercial news, we have a staff report entitled "Wrong Way Driver Arrested on Multiple Charges." Warren County, Indiana. A Danville man found himself arrested on multiple charges Sunday night in Indiana after passing a trooper while driving the wrong way on U.S. 41. Just after 11 p.m. on Sunday, Trooper Jonathan Fulfer was conducting a traffic stop on U.S. 41 near County Road 850 North when he observed a vehicle pass him traveling south in the northbound lanes. After finishing the stop he was on, Trooper Fulfer caught up to the wrong-way vehicle on State Route 63 near County Road 300 North, still traveling south in the northbound lanes. Trooper Fulfer was able to stop the vehicle, a gray Chevrolet Impala, near the intersection of County Road 200 North. Trooper Fulfer spoke with the driver, Jerry L. Odell, 26, of Danville, Illinois, who was exhibiting signs of impairment. After a thorough roadside investigation and field sobriety tests, it was determined that Odell was impaired and that he was in possession of marijuana and marijuana edibles. Odell was also driving without a license. A chemical test was taken at St. Vincent Hospital in Williamsport before Odell was arrested and taken to the Warren County Jail on the following preliminary charges: operating a vehicle while intoxicated, endangerment, Class A misdemeanor, possession of marijuana, Class B misdemeanor, operating with controlled substance in body, Class C misdemeanor, operating a vehicle without ever obtaining a license, Class C misdemeanor. All suspects are presumed innocent until and unless proven guilty beyond a reasonable doubt in a court of law. Our next commercial news story is a story from Capital News Illinois. It's entitled "Northwest Part of State Might Be Headed for COVID-19 Restrictions." This is by Sarah Manser. Springfield, the northwest region of Illinois, could be 2 days away from triggering increased mitigations from the state to slow the spread of COVID-19. The Illinois Department of Public Health on Monday announced the rate of positive test results had reached 8% in Region 1, which extends from DeKalb and Boone counties west to the Iowa border. On September 25th, the most recent day those statistics are recorded, a region that has 3 consecutive days of positivity rates above 8% is subject to increased mitigations that include limited capacity indoors and restrictions for restaurants and bars. Region 4 and the Metro East area already has increased restrictions. Its daily test positivity rate increased for the first time in 10 days to 7.1%. A region must have a positivity rate below 6.5% for a 14-day period to have increased restrictions lifted. The IDPH placed additional restrictions on bars, restaurants, and social gatherings in Region 4 on August 18th. Region 7, which includes Kankakee and Will counties, got out from under increased restrictions 10 days ago. Statewide, the test positivity 7-day rolling average is now at 3.7%, an increase of 0.1 percentage point since Friday. Total cases of COVID-19 reported in Illinois reached 289,639, the IDPH reported on Monday. From Saturday through Monday, the state averaged 1,918 new cases and 52,394 test results daily. There were 1,709 new cases reported in the previous 24 hours Monday, and 13 additional virus-related deaths. There now have been 8,614 Illinoisans killed by COVID-19. The IDPH reported 52 deaths from Saturday to Monday, bringing the total death count in the state to 8,614 people, with 41,142 tests reported in the previous hours. The test positivity rate statewide was 4.15% in the previous 24 hours, the IDPH said. That's a full percentage point higher than the rate reported Sunday. Other regions ranged from 2.2% in Region 6, which includes eastern Illinois, to 6% in Region 6, which spans parts of southern Illinois. As of Sunday night, 1,491 people in Illinois were reported to be in the hospital with COVID-19. Of those, 346 patients were in the intensive care unit and 135 patients were using ventilators. The total number of tests today is more than 5.2 million. And now we'll turn to the community briefs for Tuesday. The first is for Danville. Rotary Club opens nominations. The Rotary Club of Danville is accepting nominations for persons younger than 40 years of age for the 2020 Vocational Service Person of the Year Award. The club presents a vocational service award each year to an individual in the community for fulfillment of the Rotary ideal of service, who has shown outstanding achievement in his or her vocation by encouraging high ethical standards and by dignifying that vocation as an opportunity to serve society. Every other year, the award is focused on a recipient under the age of 40. Nominees are not required to be members of Rotary. Consider anyone who stands out in their vocation and service to society. This award does not require that the person under consideration be in a managerial or ownership position. Nominators are encouraged to submit previous nominees. Nomination forms are available on request by contacting Mike Marin at 217-841-5269. And the deadline for nominations is Friday, October 16th, 2020. Committee schedules meeting. An executive committee of the Board of Directors of the Vermilion County Metropolitan Exposition and Office Building Authority will meet at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, September 30th, 2020, in room 127 of the David S. Palmer Arena. And from Catlin, Catlin Lodge sets next breakfast. Catlin Masonic Lodge 285 will hold its semi-annual breakfast on Saturday, October 3rd, from 7 to 11 a.m. at the Lodge Hall in Catlin. The menu will consist of all-you-can-eat pancakes, scrambled eggs, sausage, biscuits, and gravy. Coffee, orange juice, and milk will be available. Free will donations are accepted. The lodge is located in historic the Kaplan Opera House at 107 North Sandusky Street, across from the old IGA. Everyone is welcome. Due to current health and safety guidelines, all those attending will be required to wear a face mask when not seated and observe social distancing. Carryout and curbside ordering will be available. And that takes us to the end of our time for today, Tuesday, September 29th, 2020. My name is Greg. It's been a pleasure to read for you today, and I hope you have a wonderful day and stay safe. Take care.